Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Big problems caused by the need for more gold. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is March 27th, 2013. And we are on a world article that you can find on pages 38 and 39 in your Advanced magazine, Quest for Gold Brings Conflict. Well, this is something that maybe most people don't think about. Not maybe, I know most people don't think about it. This article made me think about diamonds, for instance, also. And as natural minerals and resources have become more valuable in the last 5 or 10 years, especially since 2008, there was the mortgage meltdown and worldwide recession. There's been a lot of money put into gold, and the prices skyrocketed because it is a precious metal. Very, very few people, though, would think about some of the problems that are caused by this demand for gold. With so much global demand for gold, what that has done is motivate lots and lots of people to go exploring for gold. It's almost created another gold rush. This time it's a worldwide gold rush, not just in one area. And brings out some nasty behavior in people. Funny what money does to folks. We'll get to that shortly. First, let me get to my panelists. Off to my left, Joanna Wirtz.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Hi, Joanna. Nice to have you here. And were you aware of, for instance, the price of gold and what it's been in the marketplace and the demand for it?
Maybe aware of the demand for gold, but not of the price. It's not something I keep up with.
Okay. Well, it is something that gold has always been a commodity. It's always been something that has been valued. People like to have it. They like to have it in their home. They want to put it in their safety deposit boxes at the bank. Governments have actually based their currencies on gold. So it's always been in demand. And if anything, I would say that demand has really gone up even more so in the last 5 or 10 years. Uncertainty does that.
Economic uncertainty. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gold, the value doesn't really change. It stays high even with other things go down.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially when there is uncertainty. Do you have much gold?
No.
I never see you really wearing
it. It's not
a lot
my style.
most people don't really have a lot of gold just sitting around. It's something that they may not even feel comfortable having sitting around. People are worried about losing it.
I was going to bring my gold bricks with me, but they wouldn't fit in my suitcase.
Yeah.
They put it over the weight limit, you know.
Okay. That would be the gold. Joanna used bricks. Actually, the word also they use is ingots, I-N-G-O-T-S. Those are the small bricks that they actually put gold into. So I don't know if you could afford one. Yeah. Brian Hagerle, how you doing today?
Doing good, Bill. Glad to be here.
Do you have a lot of gold in your possession?
I do not either, although I do have some jewelry items that are that are apparently pure gold.
Okay. But it is not something that you worry about collecting.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
All right. Well, there are a lot some people here, particularly in Asia, that do collect gold, and they do see it as a hedge against economic uncertainty. Currencies can fluctuate, and they do over time, but gold is always this base people can hold on to. So not only just gold do people invest in, investing in gold mining companies is also another avenue for people to invest in, right?
Well, after reading this article, it sounds like maybe a good idea from the investment standpoint.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what is hidden from most people, whether they're investing in gold companies, gold mining companies, whether they're buying gold jewelry down the street at the jewelry store, what is hidden from most people are the problems their cost. In remote parts of the world, we don't normally think about it, and we think, well, it's not my problem. But we actually have a part in creating this problem. And it affects a lot of people. Unfortunately, it affects a lot of poor people, too. So over the next 2 days, we're actually going to talk about this hidden problem that is coming up from this higher demand for gold. So turn to page 38, and we'll have two readings today. The first one will be that left column.
Quest for gold brings conflict. Miners across Latin America are digging up gold and arousing anger. Steadily high prices for gold are having a dramatic impact on parts of Latin America, bringing a flood of foreign investment and stirring a gold bug among wildcat miners. Some of Latin America's poorest nations, Bolivia, Honduras, and Nicaragua, have seen their balance sheets strengthened by gold production, while major producers Peru and Mexico reap billions in foreign exports. But even as miners unearth deposits of gold, they also open up veins of social discontent. Protests over gold mining are common in areas where villagers complain of water pollution, a lack of jobs, and environmental devastation. U.S. and Canadian mining companies can be lightning rods for the discontent. But watchdog groups say global mining companies have grown more responsible in their dealings abroad. As often as not, it is small companies, and even independent miners, who generate the frictions and pollution.
Quest for gold brings conflict. And what does the deck say, Joanna?
Miners across Latin America are digging up gold and arousing anger.
Okay, arousing anger. What's that mean, arousing?
Means stirring up, sort of, making it worse.
Okay.
In this case, yes.
All right. So the miners, they're digging for gold in Latin America, and that would be, you know, places like Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, El Salvador, those countries there. And there's a picture we can see. I like that picture there at the top of page 38. There is a miner, and it's very dangerous work. Incredibly dangerous work, any mining. So death is always a possibility. Could happen at any moment. And also, because of the fumes and the environment, the stuff, the dust that's in the air, if miners aren't killed, there's certainly time is taken off of their life because they are inhaling all of this, and it's a very unhealthy environment.
That's true.
Yeah. So how do we start our reading, Brian?
Well, we start out talking about how the steadily high prices of gold have this dramatic impact on these parts of the world that you mentioned, Bill. And so they're steadily high. That means they're high. Like Joanna said earlier, the price of gold is high almost no matter what happens.
Yeah. And high is, in this case, it's a relative term. It's always been high relative to the economy. So maybe right now the price might be $1,500 an ounce or somewhere in that range. Maybe 30 years ago it was $400 an ounce. When I say relative to the times, at that time $400 was high compared to everything else. So you're never really – I don't think you'd ever consider gold to be a bargain.
Oh, no.
It never is going to be a bargain. It can't be. If gold was a bargain, then it would lose its importance. So, and the people that possess the large amounts of gold will never let that happen. They cannot afford to let gold become cheap. So there's a reason why gold has steadily been high. So, but we're seeing these high prices, even the increases recently, having a dramatic impact on parts of Latin America. Bringing what, Joanna?
Bringing a flood of foreign investment and stirring up a gold bug among wildcat miners. So what that means essentially is bringing in a bunch of foreign investment because people all over the world want to buy this gold. So there's a huge demand, and that demand is causing a bunch of wildcat miners to go out there and try to strike it rich and get lucky.
OK, Okay, foreign investment can mean several different things. A lot of times it might mean purchasing of the land, and then it also would be mean companies moving facilities there, setting up organizations, hiring people. That's the foreign investment. Gold bug.
Yeah, gold bug here, not talking about an insect, but talking in the vocabulary focus term as a bug, as a strong enthusiasm for something. And we often talk about catching different kinds of bugs, meaning almost like you get on the bandwagon or you catch a hot trend.
Yeah.
You really get excited about it.
Okay. And then wildcat is a specialized term there. And actually what that means is highly speculative. Highly speculative. It's where the miners would just go in. There's not much organization. Nobody really knows what they're going to find, but they've just heard the rumors. They've heard reports. There's gold in them hills, and that will attract thousands of people. It has done this for hundreds of years, whether it was California or Alaska or Russia or South Africa. That's what happens when people get word of gold in them hills, you end up with all of these wildcat miners rushing to the scene to take advantage of this. And sometimes they get lucky. Most of the time, they don't. Next paragraph in line 8, Joanna.
Well, it's saying that some of Latin America's poorest countries, for example, like what you were saying earlier, Bolivia, Honduras, Nicaragua, have seen some, you know, some financial improvement because of gold production.
Okay. Well, Bolivia is actually in South America. We actually do consider the Latin American countries to cover South America and also the part that's up there with Mexico. So now they have seen their balance sheets strengthened by gold production. What's that mean?
Well, balance sheets here talks about how their income is versus their expenses. It talks about, you know, are they really making money? And in this case, they are. It's been strengthened by gold production. So these states or nations, they mm-hmm. have made a lot of money off of the gold production.
Every company has a balance sheet. IBM, Microsoft, Apple, they have balance sheets to show their profit or loss. Countries, in essence, they have balance sheets, and that shows whether they are operating at a positive income level, which is good, or if they're operating at a deficit. For instance, the United States has got a big deficit. That's the balance sheet there. Not good. Okay. Now, these countries are seeing their balance sheets improve because of gold. We also see a couple of other countries there in line 11.
Peru and Mexico are reaping billions in foreign exports. Reaping okay. is what you think of when you're farming and your grain grows and it's ready for harvest. You go out and you reap it. Instead, yep. they're reaping money.
Okay. All right. So they are getting billions in foreign exports by sending out this gold. So it's helping their balance sheets. But
even as the miners in these countries unearth deposits of gold, and unearth means that they dig it up, take it out of the earth, these deposits or large amounts of gold, they also open up something else. What is that, Joe?
Well, they open up veins of social discontent. This is a sort of play on words. When you talk about mining things, you sometimes talk about a vein of gold. Just like a vein in your body flows blood, they have this idea that there are veins of gold in the earth, where just long lines of gold are there for you to dig up and profit from.
Yeah. Okay. And so these veins of social discontent, what's that?
It means that people are not happy. They're angry or dissatisfied with the way things are going.
Okay. And we describe some of the things that are going on.
Well, there are protests over gold mining, which is fairly common. And these happen in areas where villagers are complaining of water pollution, lack of jobs, environmental devastation, sort of a negative impact that happens when a corporation moves in, a mining corporation comes in and starts impacting the land.
Yeah. You can imagine you're living in a poor village. You've been there. Your families have been there for centuries. Nothing's been going on. All of a sudden, they think there's gold near your village. A company from another country comes in, sets up shop, and just creates all sorts of change. That's why there would be this social discontent. People's lives are just altered permanently. in many of these cases.
That's right, and the environment may be devastated.
Yeah, and we're going to learn some about this. In our next paragraph, we see we read about U.S. and Canadian companies.
That's right. These companies, from the global companies from U.S. and Canada, can be lightning rods for this social discontent. Lightning rod being a specialized term, meaning something that attracts criticism or anger that could be directed at someone else. So these companies attract criticism as soon as they arrive.
Sure. Easy targets. Usually the big companies are easy targets, whether it's Microsoft or Walmart or Exxon. These companies are well known. They are the easy targets for people. But in the next sentence we learn...
We learn, on the other hand, that watchdog groups, or groups whose job it is to watch these corporations and make sure they're acting responsibly, they're saying that global mining companies have grown more responsible in their dealings abroad.
Okay. So these big companies actually have. They've been forced to. One of the reasons they've been forced to is there's so much media attention on their mistakes that they actually are very responsive. Now, I'm not saying they don't do anything wrong, the bigger companies. However, a lot of times the media attention, the watchdog groups have forced them to be more responsible. So, who's causing the problems?
Unfortunately, Bill, it sounds like there are small companies and even independent miners who generate the frictions and pollution. So since there are so much money here at stake because of the gold, billions of dollars at stake, there's enough room in this pie for even small companies and even independent miners to come in and do the mining. And they're bringing friction among the people whose land they're mining on.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can have small companies or these independent miners. Anybody can get possession of land. If you get there early enough to maybe a new area and you can maybe buy some land from the villagers, from the local people, I could do it. Bill Quinn Mining could go somewhere and I could buy 10 acres, 100 acres, and then that becomes a problem. Nobody knows Bill Quinn Mining. But maybe I'm so greedy and I got to dig for this gold that I don't really care about the pollution. I don't really care about the villagers. I'm there to get the gold. So, and I might generate frictions. What does that mean, frictions?
Friction means like another word for discontent, mm-hmm. arguments, people not being happy with each other.
Yeah. Now, how would I generate friction? Bill Quinn Mining, I own this 100 acres up on the side of a mountain. And maybe I just start building a road right through land that people used to own. And to protect my workers, I hire armed guards. So all my guards are walking around with machine guns. And we're up here in this land and we're mining, and then maybe something happens and one of my guards shoots somebody's dog or their cow or something like that. That's how I generate friction, all because I'm desperate to dig for this mine and I'm this small company and nobody in Europe knows who Bill Quinn Mining is.
That's right.
So I'm kind of like flying under the radar. A lot of people don't notice me, what I'm doing, but the locals do notice me. So let's continue with our next reading.
Striking gold. The average price of gold has risen more than sixfold since 2001, when it stood around $270 an ounce. Some analysts see prices heading higher amid global economic uncertainty. Mexico, known for centuries for its silver mines, recently saw gold surpass silver to become its number one mineral export. Partly because gold production has more than tripled since 2004 to more than 84 metric tons a year. We've found an area that is extremely concentrated in gold. It's quite staggering, said Richard Whittall of New Strike Capital Incorporated. From Nicaragua's mining district to the gold fields in Colombia's northwest, and on to Peru's Madre de Dios jungles, wildcat miners are tearing up forests and dumping mercury in rivers in their quest for gold.
Bill Quinn here with Joanna Wirtz and Brian Hagerle. We're on our second reading for today. It's titled Striking Gold, this section. Now, we learn a little bit about the price of gold, Joanna.
Well, we learned that it's increased sixfold, meaning six times over since 2001, when back then it was around $270 an ounce.
Okay. Well, that is a remarkable increase sixfold for this to be six times as pricey as it was only 11 years ago. Now, it has gone up and down over time, and I mentioned that maybe 20 or 30 years, the price actually was higher than $270. So gold actually had been higher than this $270 price, but we're using this as a benchmark, a starting point to show how the price of gold is causing a lot of this activity in Latin America. You go from $270 up to $1,500, and that is going to cause a lot of people to get involved in finding gold. And what's the future hold?
Well, some analysts here say that prices could head higher amid global economic uncertainty. And, of course, I'm sure our listeners are familiar with the headlines recently, economic uncertainties in Europe and around the world. So gold is always seen as a safe place, mm-hmm. a place to rest and escape these uncertainties.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we go to one country in particular.
Mexico, which has for a very long time been known for silver mines, not gold. But recently, their gold production has surpassed silver.
Okay. And then when you surpass something?
You pass it by. You go past it.
Okay. All right.
That's
so
pretty much it.
You move past. Silver production now trails the gold mining. And gold is now its number one mineral export there in Mexico because...
Well, it says partly because gold production has more than tripled since 2004, tripled meaning that it has multiplied by three times, and to a total of more than 84 metric tons a year, which sounds like many, many ships full of gold to me.
Yeah. All right. So they're doing all of this mining in Mexico. It's interesting. We see sixfold and then tripled here in these first couple of paragraphs. Now, in this next paragraph, we hear from a representative from one of the outside companies.
Well, Richard Whittle saying, "We found an area that is extremely concentrated in gold. It's quite staggering." Concentrated means it's especially rich in gold. There's a high amount of gold in that area. He says it's staggering, which is a very impactful word.
Yeah.
It's very surprising.
Okay. And when you're staggered by something, how do you feel?
You're kind of blown away.
Blown away. You're
That's
amazed.
Another idiom.
It's like, wow. Yeah, you're stunned.
That's
you
right.
You find out. You see the reports, and here's what the geological reports say. Well, the concentration of gold in this area is 60% higher than all of the other areas. You're like, wow. What this paragraph is saying is Richard Whittle and New Strike Capital, they see dollar signs in this. They're like,
oh, yeah.
Wow, we got really lucky. We found a good place to start digging for gold. So, and now we go from Mexico to some other places.
Or back to Nicaragua's mining district and onto the gold fields in Colombia's northwest or Peru's Madre de Dios jungles. And all through these areas, wildcat miners are, you know, destroying the forests and dumping poison into the rivers, all because they're trying to get gold.
Mm. Okay, so we see there Nicaragua's mining district, and this is then just a little bit south of Mexico. And then we move into South America, into Colombia. And then we also did an article. It's interesting. We actually talked a little bit about this. I believe it was near the end of last year, maybe September or so of last year. In advance, we did talk about the Trans-Pacific Highway in South America that went all the way from the Pacific to the Atlantic Ocean through Peru and Brazil. And we actually did talk about the Madre de Dios jungles in Peru. some of the native groups there are having their entire villages just uprooted. The construction of the highway is making it easier for wildcat miners and these smaller independent companies to then come into these areas of Peru. They are literally destroying villages. They're destroying forests, destroying lives. And there actually have been protests where the government's had to be involved, and there's actually been several deaths from the people protesting, and they're you know, being shot, and there's a lot of fighting between the villagers and the companies. The government's had to come in, and then it gets really ugly. So not only are the miners tearing up the forests, part of the Amazon, but what else are they doing?
They're dumping mercury, which is a kind of a metal, a mineral, which, as Joanna said, is poisonous. They're dumping mercury into the rivers nearby their mines, all in their quest for gold. So, boy, you can really see, like in our deck today, why this would be arousing the anger of the villagers.
Mm-hmm. So not only are they chopping down the trees, tearing up these forests, but this mercury, one of the chemicals that they're putting into the land, which ultimately then reaches the streams and the rivers and can be consumed by the people living in that area. Mercury, maybe a lot of times, maybe people might be most familiar with mercury. You'll see it in thermometers, and that's how thermometers can give you the temperature. They'll use mercury in it. We're moving away from mercury thermometers, but maybe people still have that around their homes. We're going to learn a little bit more about this mercury problem tomorrow. So listeners, come on back then. Until then, this is Bill,
Joanna,
and Brian
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.